Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Amen. Amen. Get your Bible out and get ready. Pastor Terry Wilson is going to be bringing the word. So come on up, Terry, and tell us what for.
How come? I just want to thank Russell Sellers for praying for me. I used to be bashful and shy. Russell laid hands on me, and I've been healed of that. I used to suffer from anorexia. Russell prayed for me on that as well. So as you can tell, you need to get with that man. He knows how to pray, apparently. I got you. Amen. Amen. Well, how are you doing? All right. How many here work with the general public as a profession in your job? You work with people. All right, yeah, good. How many people in here would say, when I go out to the store, I have to interact with people? How many would say that? Okay. How many people in here would say that the folks you're related to are people and you have to deal with them? All right, good. This is the audience. I'm not a betting man, but I would imagine that you've probably run across a time or two someone that you would deem as maybe unreasonable. Anybody? Okay, maybe it's just me. I mean, that's just, you know, have you ever had, you know, one of those passionate discussions with your significant other about a divergence in perspective? Hey, I worked on that one all night. All night. I sure did. I said, how can I say this? Is this thing on? Okay. So, all right. So, how many know we live in a world that's a little bit contentious? And sometimes finding the reasonable gets more and more difficult. How many know that? How many from time to time get tempted to become unreasonable yourself? Let me ask it another way. How many's ever gone southbound 85 toward Atlanta? They're tempting me to flesh out, aren't they? Hallelujah. And by the way, I'm not a betting person. I don't advocate gambling. But what I'm about to give you is a tip that I really think is a sure thing and is not a gamble. Some of you who are Facebook friends will know what I mean. But if you ever want to make a quick dollar, just find out who the Braves are playing that I'm going to go see and bet on the other team. You will always win, because I never get to see my team win when I go down there. But that's just a little side note. I saw Lisa over there just laughing. But we live in a world that is contentious from time. We work with people and run into people that are contentious and are not reasonable at times. And, you know, we can talk this morning about, you know, walking on water, speaking with fire. We can do all kinds of things that's afforded to us in the kingdom of God. But sometimes I feel drawn to just learn to walk before I run. And, you know, I really believe at the end of the day when I'm before my maker, he's probably going to be more concerned about how I have treated other people and how I have affected the environment I live in more so than some of the other stuff. Right? And so sometimes we overlook some of the more basic things in life simply because, well, it's not the walking on the water, and it's not the big show sometimes. But how many know this walk of faith, there's a practicality to it. You know, this is a living, breathing faith that we exercise and operate within. And if it's just philosophical, if it's just idealistic, if it's just literature, if it's just that, if we just mitigate it to that, then, you know, you can read Shakespeare. You know, if this isn't breathing and if it's not permeating who I am and something that I can use to change the environment in which I live, then it's just a book, isn't it? Now, how many know this is a living word? This thing's got power in it. And if I would just digest it, ingest it, and then shoot it into the world I'm around, things change. It's absolutely amazing. Kim Swanson. Sister Braves fan here. Yeah. Many Braves fan have emailed me and said, if you'll just stay home, we would appreciate it. We're trying to make a run for the pennant here. She came up a couple weeks ago, I don't know how long ago, and she testified to a song that meant something to her. And how in the darkest times that she was walking through in that season, that this song just sort of, anybody remember that testimony? Remember the song? What was the song? It was the modern day inspirational version of It Is Well, an old hymn. How many know the story of that song? Does anybody in here know? If you study that story sometimes, I'm going to tell you what, it spoke to me because as a businessman, the guy who wrote that song was a businessman, lost his company, lost everything in the Chicago fire, and trying to rebuild and everything, his family went overseas to take a vacation. He came after and then got this telegram that saying his whole family except one was lost at sea. Lost at sea. He goes out to reunite with whoever it is that's found still alive. And the captain comes up and says, Mr. Spafford, this is the actual area the boat went down. He says, and the glory of God just surrounded him and arrested him. And these words came out as he looked over the bow of the ship. He says, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like seas billows roll, whatever my lot you've taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. And those words, as testified by our sister just a couple of weeks ago, still ring true. There is a life that is afforded to us that where we don't have to be up and down with the circumstances and the situations of life. We don't have to participate in the craziness of our world. Look beside you and tell the person, I'm reasonable, are you? Now, the other person, look back at him and say, be reasonable. Open your Bibles to Philippians 4, 1 through 9. It's a familiar verse, but maybe a new spin that we'll have on it this morning that we can glean something from God's Word. It says here, therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Verse 2, chapter 4 of Philippians. I entreat you, Udiah, and entreat you, Sinki, to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Verse 5, here's the money. Let your reasonableness, and some translation says gentleness, meekness, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, which will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So the charge is, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. And that's easily said and sometimes hard to live out, isn't it? How many has ever been tempted to be unreasonable? First and only fist fight I ever got into, hand to God, true story. First and only hand fight I ever got into was, and I don't want to make a bad advertisement because it's a great place that confirmed my faith, it helped me exercise my faith. What was that? South Mountain Christian Camp. And it was my fault, so I just want to put that on. It was completely my fault. And I tell you what happened. We went out, it was before the swimming pool. We was out at the lake, we were swimming all morning, and we was coming back for lunch, and this guy was passed me in line, and I was just about ready to get my pork chop. And I said, hey, buddy, line's back there. And he says, well, I won't say what he said. He just challenged, what would I do about to rectify the situation? And I commenced to being a living word, acting out the thoughts that were in my head. Later on that week, Charlotte explained to my mother what had happened. I go home, and my mother explains it to my grandfather, and he had the greatest synopsis. So he was one of these guys that just could take a whole paragraph and break it down into one sentence. He says, well, apparently the guy found himself in the most dangerous place in the world. I said, well, where's that? He says, between you and a pork chop when you're hungry. Sometimes we just get unreasonable, don't we? Sometimes we just tempted to get so unreasonable because the way I responded to that wasn't reasonable. I'm hungry. And I like the pork chops. The word reasonable there means to be mild. For those taking notes, that this is Strong's Concordance number 1909. It means to be mild, gentle, show moderation, and I hate this word, patient. To be patient. How many's ever been tempted to be patient? Whew. Don't answer that. It'll challenge you. Well, we live in an unreasonable world, and you say, well, Terry, you're just making this stuff up. It ain't that bad. Well, I'll tell you what happened. Just this week, on June the 18th, at a local mall, a lady went into a violent rage and assaulted the cashier at the mall's Taco Bell because they didn't put enough nacho cheese on her nachos. This is a true story. This is a police report. Scott, are people reasonable? Don't answer that. You say, well, Terry, you're just making fun of what? No, I'm not. I'm just saying this is where we're at, folks. Well, just this week on June 20th in France, a priest, while christening a baby, got frustrated because the baby wouldn't stop crying and slapped the baby. It's on film. Just this week, June 5th, or just this month, in Houston, Texas, you say, well, Terry, you're just poking at people that's having problems in life, or you're just poking maybe an older priest that maybe, you know, he don't have patience with you. Well, here's a 22-year-old college kid, the prime of their life. What did they do? Just this week in Houston, Texas, college student entering the drive-thru of a McDonald's attempted to drive their car into the drive-thru window in a fit of rage because she was told the ice cream machine was broken. Now, folks, this is the society, this is the culture that we live in. That's real. You don't believe, just turn on social media for 2 seconds if you can stand it. You'll see all kinds of reasonable stuff. So the question is, what do we do about it? Do we complain? Do we gripe? Do we judge? No. We change. Well, how do we change? I want to go over here. We got a charge to do something. It says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. But how many know you can't give something you don't? And how many know we live in a society and a culture that's trying to mold us, that's trying to shape us, that is trying to get us to start acting like them? And if we're not careful, I don't know about y'all, but I will. I'll act out. It, without the Spirit of God coming in and interrupting me and me leaning on him, I can act a fool too. But by the grace of God, you know, it doesn't take a supernatural move of the Holy Spirit to act a fool, does it? So how do you do this? How do you do this thing of being gentle when you're being challenged? How do you show and give calm in a contentious world? The one thing I love about the Holy Ghost and his book that he authored was he gives us both the what and the how. Have you ever had a job and the boss was real quick to tell you what to do, but was real short on telling you how to do it? Isn't that frustrating? Isn't that aggravating? Isn't that just a place, an environment for just aggravation and frustration? The book here doesn't just tell you what to do. It tells you how to do it. Because he's not setting you up for failure. He's not up here with a big hammer and saying, I told you what to do, when you going to do it? And he says, here's what to do, and Terry, here's how to do it. So we got a what and we got a how, which is very important. The reason you need to know what the what is because how many know you can't start anything until you know what you're doing? You know what? Understanding the what, the value of breaking this passage down and understanding what he's telling you to do is because it gives you access to start doing it. If I don't know what to do, I have no point of access. I don't have anything to grab a hold of. I don't know what to do. If I don't know the what, I don't know even if I'm accomplishing the task. Because the task is undefined, and it also helps me keep accountable. So the first thing he tells you to do, and this is very important, he says, rejoice in the Lord, and again, I say rejoice. That's the what. What? Rejoice in the Lord. You live in a contentious environment. You live in a contentious society. You live in a thing where peace is just not abounding. He says, first thing you do, here's what to do. Rejoice in the Lord. Now, what does that mean? The word literally means to do gladness. It didn't say be glad. It didn't say feel glad. One of the things that I have, maybe you guys are already there, and if you are, thank you for giving me the grace. But I have got to learn that just because my emotions are here doesn't mean I can't do this. I might not feel glad, but the Bible's telling me I can do glad. I can be glad. I can give gladness. I can show gladness. I can show goodness and gladness to people. You're going to be put in environments in the workplace and home place and every part of your life that you're going to be pressed on. You're going to be leaned on. You're going to say, what's in you? And you might not feel it, but you've got to do it, don't you? Because he says, do gladness. Do gladness. The next thing he says, be not anxious. Now, we're going to get to the how in a minute because I can already see somebody going. He don't tell you to do anything. He's not going to show you how to do it. But he says, be not anxious. Well, that's easy for you, Terry. You ate a pork chop. You happy. I'm still standing in line for my pork chop. He says, do not be anxious. And the word anxious there is be free from anxiety and stress. And I love this. I heard this. I think Les Brown says this. He says, you be what you do. I know that's not good English. Don't worry about it. But you be what you do. You want to be glad? You want to be anxious free? Then do glad. Do anxious free. I love that phrase. It stuck with me. He says, and give thanks. These are the things he's telling us what to do. What to do. And everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. There's seven benefits of gratitude. I gave it a little bit last week because this is actually a training I've done before. People don't realize in business when I'm offering this coaching and training, all I'm doing is going into scripture and say, God, what do you say about this? And I build my whole training module for them and then sell it to them. I don't give. I want a pork chop, so I can't give it away. But he says, there's seven benefits of gratitude. He says it reduces stress. How many wants to reduce your stress? And just be grateful. Offer thanks. Offer thanks. Well, Terry, I'm suffering right now. I'm having this. Don't worry about it. Count your blessings. I tell this story all the time back when we were losing everything and things were being repossessed and business went down. And the only thing I could see in my perspective right now, it sounds silly, was our dining room table and some condiments on the table and the salt and pepper. And I just went and said, Lord, I thank you for that table. They hadn't taken that yet. And I thank you for the salt and pepper and I thank you for the ketchup on the table. And I just kept repeating it. And I'm telling you, it changed the environment. You know why you have to change your environment? Because one of the things is it will heighten your awareness to see opportunity around you. See, when I'm down in the mully grubs and all I'm doing is thinking about is woe is me and all I'm thinking about is, man, they doing fair to me and this person was unreasonable. When I got my head down, I don't see up what the world, the God of this universe is opening up things to me all the time. But I don't see it. When I'm ingrateful and just not being grateful. So he's telling you this is what to do. And it strengthens your immune system. It strengthens and promotes deeper relationships and improves your self-esteem. So that's why it's important to be thankful. And the fourth what to do is receive peace. Receive his peace. He says, let your reasonableness be known to God and the Lord, because the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious for anything, but everything, prayer and supplication, with your requests be made known to God. And then he says this, and the peace of God. peace of God. Latin root word for that peace is tranquillus. It's where we get the word tranquilizer. The tranquilizer of God will just numb you away from all the chaos and the stuff that's going on. I mean, you know, I heard a preacher once said that, you know, the Bible never said to stop drinking. It just said change bottles. Never asked you to stop dancing, just change partners. You know, we were born with a need in our soul. The problem we get involved with sometimes is we keep trying to substitute the answer that our soul is in desperate need of. There is no drug that the pharmaceutical company can come up with that's better than the peace of God. Because it will do things to you, and there's no recoil, there's no recourse, there's no drawback, there's no draw, there's none of that. And guess what? There's no deductible, so your insurance don't even have to worry about that. I mean, it's good stuff. The peace of God. The reason why people can't, and I haven't been able, because it's in the passage. Well, why is it so difficult to receive God's peace? Well, what did it say right after that? The peace of God will guard your heart that passes all understanding. Biggest problem I've had in my walk of faith is if I can't understand it, I can't receive it. I put God on this thing where it says, God, if I don't understand what you're doing, then I'm not going to receive it. And God said, well, I guess you ain't going to get it yet, are you? Because sometimes you have to stand under before the understanding comes, don't you? Sometimes you just have to receive it by faith. I don't understand how this is supposed to work, God. I don't understand how you say you're working all things together for the good of me that's called according to your purpose. I don't understand. He says, do you want to understand it or do you want to receive it? If you want to understand it and just pontificate about it. That was for you, Martha. Use it 5 times, you can have it. If you just want to talk about it, if you just want to flap the gums about it but not live it, yeah, you can understand it. But what there's professors in college that can quote that thing backwards and forwards, up and down, but they don't live it, they don't know it, it's nothing but literature to them. But they understand it, but they don't know it. There's not a knowing. I'm telling you, one of the greatest things you could do for yourself is just by faith receive God's peace. And I'll tell you, sometimes it comes in the strangest ways. Sometimes it comes in the most odd forms. How many has had God speak to them in just weird ways? Just strange ways. Just how many has had a child out of nowhere just come up to you and say something off the cuff? It meant nothing to them, but it meant everything to you. 3 years ago, I spoke, and a dear lady at this church came up to me and said, I don't know what this means, but I'm just supposed to say it. God said that the platform you're building is the platform he wants you to go with. And she don't know nothing about marketing. She don't know nothing about web design. She don't know nothing about any of this stuff that I work in my daily life. But I was at that time praying, God, am I supposed to build this marketing platform or use these people over here? That was my prayer. God, I got to know because I just don't want to make the investment. And this woman goes, strange. She said, I don't even know what this means. I'm telling you. You got to receive by faith what God's trying to get to you, because sometimes it will come in the strangest, strangest ways. But if we're not open to it, if we're just like, nope, he can only say it this way through this person and this time. It's only on Sunday mornings, whatever Pastor Terry says from the pulpit, and that's it. Pastor Terry's going to give you the word of God every Sunday morning. But sometimes you need to know an answer on Thursday morning, and you're not here, and you don't have him speaking to you. So what do? You be open. You receive things by faith. God, and he validates it with his word, okay? So here's the how. Everybody's like, tired of you telling me what to do, Terry. You better get to the how. Well, we're going to get there. I love the word of God because it breaks down the how. Understanding how to do these things that he just charged. He gave us 4 things to do. He's given us. And notice the scripture, the way it breaks out. Here's 4 things to do if you want to put calm in the society. If you want to show reasonableness to your society, here's the 4 things you got to do. And then it gives you 8 ways of doing it. man, Scripture is awesome. Understanding how gives you confidence, I can do it. It gives you a commitment to do it, and gives you conviction to see it done. So here is how to do it. Number one, meditate on the truth. You want to know how to do the things we just talked about? Meditate on the truth. How much time do you meditate on what God is saying, what God is doing, what God thinks versus what some politician, some pundit, somebody else is saying about something? Because everyone else except God has an agenda. So if you want to know how to bring calmness into your soul, how to bring this supernatural grace of reasonableness into your soul, the first thing is we meditate on the truth. We meditate on the truth. We meditate. And I love what R.C. Sproul says, because we live in a society today that thinks truth is subjective. How many's heard this phrase, well, this is my truth? What does that even mean? See what? That means they're going to do what they're going to do. Well, this is either white or it's not. It's not based on my opinion. It's either, my shirt is either white or it's not. Well, my truth says it's blue. Well, that's not true. And we've endorsed and invalidated a subculture within the liberal arts of our college system that is allowing people to try to think and understand and reason that there's multiple truths. And now you get what you got. I love what R.C. Sproul says. He says, truth is nothing more than that which corresponds with reality as God perceives it. As God perceives it. Because I got news for you. I'm colorblind. Ironically enough, there's certain shades of brown and greens I don't see. So my perspective on what is blue is completely different than what my wife's perspective is on blue. But there's only one blue. Doesn't matter what my perspective is, right? Truth is truth. Meditate on truth. The word truth there means literally not hidden. It's unconcealed. It's God's word. It's an inherent word. Also, look for the honorable. I'm telling you right now, it's easy to find problems in this world. It's easy. Don't take a supernatural gift to the Holy Spirit to see everything that's wrong. If you're literate and you have your senses, you can see there's a lot of problems we have in this society, isn't it? But if I want to look for, it takes an act of faith and grace to look for what's honest and honorable and the things that are things that you can brag about, be proud about. He says, so this is how you do it. Look for the things that are honorable. Number two, seek what is ethical. You know, there's a difference, and I know we have an attorney in our presence, so I dare not try to venture into these waters too much. But there's a difference, I think, between legal and ethical, isn't there? There are some things that are legal that just aren't ethical. There's a higher standard. You know, we're not under the law, right? We're under grace. Let me tell you something. Grace, to me, is a higher challenge. It's a higher call. Because I can legally do something right, but not have my heart attached to it. And grace goes after the heart. What's the intent? So, seek what is ethical. Gaze upon the sacred. He says there, whatever is pure, what is reverence, venerable, sacred, go after those things. Seek after those things. Number five, consider what is pleasing. Consider what is pleasing. Here again, there's things I could do that I would be totally fine with, but is it pleasing? So I always have to weigh that out and judge it. Number six, listen for the reputable. There's a lot of voices in our society today. Everyone's got an opinion. Everyone's got their own take. Everyone's got their own spin on it. But is the source reputable? Is the source reputable? Whatever is commendable, he's saying there. That, and number seven, embrace only the excellence. Is there any excellence in it? Is it, you know, we call people that can play those, what do you call them, get fiddles, those fiddles. You know, they play them real well. We call those virtuosos. What do we call them? Fiddle players, yeah. Now, he's a virtuosus. In other words, he really excels in excellence with this. Embrace only the excellence. I ain't going to camp out there. Number 8, capture the commendable. If there's anything worthy of praise, capture it. Grab a hold of it. Broadcast it. And the reason that you see these words here where it says capture and embrace and all those is because the last line in that sentence where it says think about these things only, if you break out the word think about, do a word study, it literally is talking about meditate, look, seek, gaze, consider, listen, embrace, capture. All of those words right there is in that little phrase where it says think about these things only. That's what it's telling you to grab a hold of it, embrace it, meditate. This is how you perform the what, and doing the what is what brings you peace, what brings you and allows you to give calm in such a contentious world that we live. This coming July, we're having coffee sessions right over there, okay? Didn't have a lot of time to break in all these things. I just had the major points, but each one of these points have sort of a breakout. There's 12 principles that are in this right here on how to do it. If you want calm in your society and in your environment, in your world and what you live, then you got to have it. You can't give something you don't have. And this text right here is so rich with information, and we're going to break this down this coming July over here at 9:30 in the morning. If you want to be put on the little text thing alert of, you know, here's this latest course and send out the information, you can text at FV Coffee. Text that to 81010, or you can sign up on the email thing there, and it's over on the church's website. It's fvcoffee.com. It takes you right to the page on the education site. But I really believe, you know, I have found myself just aggravated and frustrated with the state of the world I live in. And the challenge the Lord has given to me is, well, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to complain? Are you going to become part of the problem? Are you going to be a change agent? Are you going to be someone that changes the environment, changes the society, changes the world in which they live in? And I said, yes. And I'm going to first start by stop going down southbound 85 toward Atlanta, because these people are tempting me. And I want to save them from getting a millstone tied around their neck and thrown in the other way. They're putting murder in my heart. But I'm not going to act out on it. Why? Because I'm reasonable. Are you reasonable? Be reasonable. He says, let your reasonableness be shown to mankind. I'm telling you, this stuff right here will change the world in which you live. I'll leave you with this. A lot of this is attitudinal. And I heard someone say one time, because I've heard that word my whole life thrown around, and someone gave me a definition of attitude, and it really opened it up to me about what it was. You know what an attitude is? It's the way I assign meaning to the things I perceive. That's what your attitude is. It's the way you assign meaning to the things you perceive. If I got a bad attitude, more than likely, my perception's off. I'm just perceiving things wrong. Or I'm assigning the wrong meaning to the perception. I got to adjust one or the other. Either my perception's off or the way I'm assigning meaning to it. Attitude, a grateful, thankful attitude, my Bible promises me, will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. Do not allow Satan to rope you into thinking, well, that's just my personality. No, it's not. No, it's not. Attitude is what influences my personality. Personality is, I'm an introvert, extrovert. Russell prayed for me, made me an extrovert. Do I use a judging function or a feeling function? How do I spit things back out in the universe? These are all cognitive functions that good psychology and biology and theology supports. That's personality. Attitude is what I do to shape that personality and the experience I and you have with my personality. Don't conflate attitude with personality. I've done that for years. I'm preaching myself, folks, so don't feel that. If there's anybody in here feeling condemnation, don't. I'm telling you, I'm opening up. I just say, well, my mama was like that, my grandma was like that, I guess I'm that way. No, you're not. You're a child of God. You're what he says. You don't have to be any of that. I love you guys. Did you get anything out of this? There's no refunds. So I hope you got something out of it. All right, let's stand. Lord, I pray a blessing on your people this morning. I pray that you would give them the boldness and the grace to go out in the highways and the byways and to be a thermostat set by the kingdom of God to change the environment. Lord, wherever they go, let them make it cooler. Let them bring down the temperature. Let them change the environment that they walk in. Let there not be a room that they walk in this week that does not feel your presence because they're there. Lord, I just pray that you make everybody in here a change agent. That the imperative of the world that they live in and the call in their life is real and is present to them, God. And Lord, that you talk, walk, breathe, and live through them, and they give the world that they're in a dose of heaven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your people. Thank you for this church. Thank you for its pastor. We love you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Anyway, we do want to make sure that if there's anyone here that needs prayer, I want you to meet Doug and Vicki Logan right over here on this side. I know there'll be a lot of people coming up to talk with Terry, but maybe something touched your heart. Maybe you came to some realization in your life that you would like to have prayer for. So I'd like for you to come over here if you maybe you want to receive Christ. Maybe you've never done that before. Thought you did, but you want to make sure. Or if you just need any type of prayer, I want you to come over here on this side and meet with Doug and Vicki and pray. And but Terry's here to answer all the questions that he created. But he's a man with the answers. But I do encourage you, really, at 9:30 on Sunday.
429-0006.
That wasn't reasonable. He needs to practice what he preaches. That was not reasonable. I'm forwarding my phone. Anyway, isn't it great to be able to have laughter with God? I mean, it really is. It's with one another and with God. But thank you, Terry. You did an excellent job. But I would recommend you come into our Bible study at 9:30 every Sunday morning. And so he's going to be teaching us what he knows other than my phone number. But anyway, if you do need to call me, it's 828-429-0006. I'm one shy of 007. So, but it's okay. But I'm almost there. But thank you, missionaries, for being here. It's such an honor to have you guys. And thank you all the volunteers for VBS. And you just did an awesome, awesome job. And I'm already looking forward to next year. So let's pray. Father, thank you again for the Word of God that is so rich, and the Spirit of God who is so real in our lives. We thank you for Terry and his delivering the Word and his preparation. And we thank you, God, that you do want us to be a people that reflect and show forth who you truly are in living inside us. So, Lord, we give you praise, we give you honor, and we worship you with all of our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.